Thank you, microdose.com. That's all I have to say right now. I have been traveling so much, planes, cars, like long, long drives. My body hurts, you know, sleeping in different beds, in different hotels, you know, everything's kind of screwy. And thank you, microdose.com. I know you've heard the word microdose before, but this is microdosing THC. And microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And you deserve to feel good. You can go to their website, microdose.com, and learn all about microdosing THC. But I'm telling you, it is amazing. They have all different strains that help with all different issues. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of her with her order from microdose.com saying thank you. I'm telling you, a lot of people do this, all sorts of people. And they do it to feel healthier. They do it to perform better. They do it to focus. They do it to sleep. They do it for pain. They do it for relaxation. It really helps your mind and body be at peace. So really check it out. Microdose.com is amazing, and the product, they taste delicious, number one, but the product is so damn good, and you deserve to feel better. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to microdose.com. If you don't already know, you're going to learn about microdosing THC, and when you get there, you're going to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. It is available nationwide. That is microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold, JUDYGOLD, for 30% off and free shipping. That is a lot, 30% off. And the stuff is amazing. I'm telling you, microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. A star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold and my co-host. So,
I'd kill you now. Yeah.
Thanks, Gilbert.
Sorry.
Wait, yeah. I don't know if you recognize that voice.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Guess
hi,
who?
I'm Sir Ben Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley is here with his wife, Dara Gottfried. It's funny that you
funny
met
how,
Ben.
Yeah.
You married Gilbert's
yes, yeah. It's ex-wife. Strange how that happened.
How did that, and how did you meet Gilbert's wife?
I have no idea. I think it was during Schindler's List.
Oh, that's my favorite
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, she was yeah. one of the inmates
right.
at Treblinka.
I don't see that.
You know, if I could open every podcast with the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Well, I
mentioned it as much as possible.
I think they say you should start every day with the Holocaust.
Yes, I agree. And Dara,
that just wakes you
yes.
up.
How has Ben? I mean, is it different than living with Gil? She's so cute.
She is.
Gilbert, can you believe that you're married
I love
to
you,
this
Ben.
Woman?
What?
Okay.
Well, why so, when did I become Gilbert?
Oh, right. Yeah. Ben, did
yeah,
you?
That is hot. That is
yeah.
hot.
Liam was terrific to work with. I just want to say. We had a volatile working relationship.
Really? I heard yeah. you're really easy to work with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm very easy to. I heard that yeah. Ben Kingsley, you have to. He became a sir.
Right. Was, Sir Ben Kingsley, yes.
So he wants to be called Sir Ben.
No, he doesn't.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I heard. Like, a lot of them are embarrassed by it. Like, I heard Michael Caine doesn't want to be called Sir Michael. But
wow.
Ben,
is that true?
I think, see, it's... I.
How
this,
do you...
Here's
really?
My that's what I heard.
That doesn't surprise me.
Do you think Elton John Which, wants to be called... No, he wants to be called Madam. Madam
yes,
Elton.
Yeah, yeah. Dame Elton.
Dame Elton.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think, here's my theory. If in fact he does demand to be called Sir Ben, he's an Indian Jew.
Really?
He's both Jewish and Indian. So that's like two of
it's
like
a lot of farting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, it's like an well, with the forget it with the Indians. If you're in the low class,
right,
you're an insect.
You're shit, right?
Yeah, and the Jews looked down and hated.
Right.
So I feel like now that he's a sir.
Sir.
Yeah.
Ben. Oh, it's like the nerd getting popular.
Yes. Yes.
Wait a minute. He's half Indian
he's like,
and half Jewy.
Yeah.
Wait, so
he's
that means
half Jewy.
So his mother's Jewy?
I think Kingsley's his mother's. Yeah. Well, it's not his real name. It's not his real name.
What's his real name?
I don't know. I think his father is because it's like Ika Laka Laka Laka.
All right. So that means he's Jewish. Jew. Wait, did you grow up in a house? Like, I grew up in a house.
Sounds Hawaiian.
Okay.
Yes.
That was an interruption.
He's I apologize.
He's a Hawaiian Indian Jew.
Who's
who lived on the island of Hikiwakiwaki.
And he's a knight. Okay. My house growing up.
Sometimes he's an afternoon.
Dusk, Ben Kingsley. I grew up in a house when I would watch TV with my parents.
Yes.
Seriously, my mother would sit there at every character that came on. Jew, converted, married a Jew, anti-Semitic. Like every that was every.
That's what I do nowadays.
He knows them all.
I do. Yes. What is that? I know every Jew. What do you think that is?
Like I heard Cary Grant.
Yes.
Was a secret Jew.
Really?
Secret Jew.
Did you know Elvis Presley? Jew?
I believe
and
that,
has a Jewish star on his coffin.
Well, I
mean, it's a... But yes, his grandmother, his mother's mother was Jewish.
Yeah.
And he
she
felt...
She was?
Yes.
I heard that.
And his... he felt such a connection. And there's a Star of David on his grave.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And you know who told me that? My mother, before she said Elvis...
I remember they said he would wear a Jewish star.
Yeah.
And he said, his answer was, I don't want to miss out on heaven on a technicality.
Uh-huh, but that's funny.
It was funny, but he didn't admit to being a Jew.
Right. Oh, he really said that?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. We don't even believe in heaven, do we? We believe.
No.
This is what my mother used to tell him. I remember asking her what happened. She goes, Judith, your battery dies, that's the end. It's over.
Nice. Yes. Yes.
Which I believe, too.
I believe
yeah. Yeah. Although I spoke to Penn Jillette, and he believes in an afterlife, and he prays to Christ every
day. Really?
No. He's
so religious.
Biggest.
I did Celebrity Wife Swap with him.
Yes, and he raps to tefillin. I
saw him with the yarmulke on at the airport. And I was like, man, what's going on? He's like, I'm just feeling it.
He's like, just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case.
And then he ran out because it was sundown. He's like, I got to go. I can't talk to you. And he ran out.
Yeah. I called him one time and he was asleep. So he answered the phone. Michada Rashir. take the rabbit out of the hat. I pick the four of spades. Make the elephant disappear. Achinavu, is that a coin behind your ear?
Wait, did Teller say anything?
It's guilt.
That's hilarious. Now, Dara, you have two children.
Yes.
Dara's holding her cheeks like her face is hurting from laughing.
Both of them are black.
By the way,
Gilbert. And they're both black.
Surprisingly.
That's
do you want to be called sir?
Yes.
Would you be called
sir?
They look like the UPS man. Yeah.
But are you going to raise them Jewy?
I see, now with me, I wasn't raised Jewy at all.
You're such a Jew.
But yeah, see, that's the thing. You can't help it.
Right.
It's like saying, Are you a practicing Jew? Right. I don't have to practice.
Right, exactly.
I want them.
That was stamped on me.
Well, do you want
their culture? I want them to know their culture.
So you're not going to bar bat mitzvah?
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know.
So I wasn't bar mitzvahed.
You weren't?
No.
I wasn't.
That
either.
Is so not from that time period.
I ate ham and bacon. I never knew when any
Get
of the
out!
Yes. I never knew when any of the holidays were.
Right.
But. Here's where it comes into play. I know that if they ever start rounding up the
right.
Jews again,
You're
I'm going to be,
line.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah.
Right.
So that's why it
Hopefully
always...
Hopefully they'll go in size order.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll be last.
So
yeah.
sometimes when or they'll, first. They'll these actresses or actors will go, well, my parents are Jewish.
Right.
But like I'm a Buddhist or
right,
something.
Right, 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 right.
When they're rounding people up, they're
throwing
They're
right.
You.
I always say that.
Yeah.
Everyone hates Hitler and that it's like, that is the defining thing. Hitler would have called you a Jew, then you're a Jew.
Oh,
right.
yes, yes.
Wow. You're so Jew. It's wait, and your parents were communists or wait, you were
wasn't your grandmother? They, wasn't your grandmother?
They were Tommy? They were selling secrets to the Russians. And
is that true?
No.
All
that's
right.
like Julius and Ethel.
I know.
Yeah. No, I don't remember them as being
political. You
yeah.
never talked
no,
about that?
No.
And they never had furniture that matched.
No. No. Never. Never matching furniture was something I only saw on TV.
And
I was going to say, tell Judy where you slept when you were growing up.
I slept in the dining room.
No way.
Yes. Yeah. Because there were two bedrooms.
Right.
My parents had one. My two sisters shared the other.
Right.
I had a small bed in the dining room.
Was there a TV in there?
I would sneak into the living room, and sometimes there'd be a horror movie on at like 1 a.m.
right.
morning, and I'd have to sit with my nose pressed to the screen because I had on so low.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. Wait a minute. So, like, you had no privacy?
None.
And so, in the morning,
I had a jerk off on the roof. Yeah.
That's so funny.
I like, love why when, is this roof so slippery?
Yeah.
No, it's like when my kids are like in the shower for like 20, I'm like, please hurry up. I only have one bathroom, so it's really horrible. But yeah, I know. So wait, when they got up in the morning, you just, is this where everyone ate breakfast? It was the only table. There wasn't like a kitchen table.
Yeah.
It was, that was the main area.
That was the main area.
That is horrible. Horrible.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think that affected you?
Well, look at me.
Wait, and your sisters got their own room.
Yeah.
And are you the youngest?
Yeah. Yeah.
So did they put you in that room after your sisters left?
No. One of my sisters, she moved out eventually. And then my other sister stayed there. And then we moved into another. That was in Crown Heights, then we moved to Borough Park.
Right.
In Borough Park, I had my own room.
How old were you?
45.
Yeah. Moving on up.
We're moving on up. Wow.
Were you a good student?
Was I a good student?
Yeah, yeah.
I was a really good student. And then, I don't know, but I was so... I would veer off into my own little world. But yeah, I got really good grades, and I could not test. I could not take tests ever. Like multiple choice tests. I was always like, well, there's part truth in that. I would sit there for an hour on one. And so now Ben is like, Mommy, I can't take the tests. And it's so interesting because people learn differently. Right. And I could absorb all the information, but then don't test me like this. That's not how I retain it.
Right.
You know? Why? Were you a good student?
Horrible.
Really?
Absolutely.
But
horrible.
Because you were bored, right?
Yeah. Yeah. My mind would wander.
You wander,
like
wander,
crazy.
Wander. But I don't know how I got through, you know, getting decent grades because I never finished a book. I just did as little as I possibly could and did okay because it wasn't really that hard. But then you quit school at 15.
I quit. I went to high school. I don't know. I don't think I
which high school?
Rasmus.
Oh, with Barbara Streisand and what's his name? Neil Sedaka.
Yes.
And Neil Diamond.
And Neil Diamond.
Yes.
That is the Jewiest, gayest. Well, Neil Diamond's not gay, but he should be because his music is. But I know, I love him too. Wait, so you went to, and so you're 15, you're like, get me the fuck out of here. And or, how does a Jew tell his Jew parents that he's dropping out of?
I didn't tell them. I used to leave the house.
Right.
And then just, I'd hang out in the library all day.
Really?
That's the worst thing to do.
All day.
To leave school and hang out in the library and read.
It's right, like, but that's what you probably needed to do.
Yeah.
God. So wait, you never got a GED or anything?
No.
Can you imagine getting in trouble for that? That's like, I wanted to do extra homework.
Yeah.
Detention for you.
What would you read about?
I don't, well, I mean, knowing me, I would be reading about movies and monsters.
Wait,
and
so your kids, will they ever know that you never graduated high school?
I guess eventually they'll find out.
Wow. And they're brilliant. Your kids are at a brilliant school. Oh, Dara's, Dara's making the Jew face. Well, you know, where the shoulder goes up. You know, well, they are.
Yeah, well, my son is, I don't know if you heard of him, Albert Einstein.
Oh,
and
terrific.
He's not, I don't, he's good at math, they say.
Wait, are they good in school? Are they good in students?
Pretty good. I mean, it's hard to tell. They're still so young.
Right.
You know?
Is my favorite story with my son. He's like, when he was like in preschool.
Right.
We met with the teacher, and the teacher said, he doesn't pay attention in school when I'm talking, and he's trying to be funny all the time. And I thought, God knows.
I know, where the hell he got that from.
And then she said, where did you learn how to be funny? And he goes, from my daddy. And she goes, oh, your daddy is funny? And he goes, he's funny at home, not at work.
Oh. You know, I go in to the parent teacher, and it started with Ben. He's so funny, and everyone loves him. And the teachers, like in middle school, were like, he's so funny that, like, I want to laugh at the jokes because they're, you know, sophisticated. Like, they're funny, but he's disrupting everyone. But he's, but we love him, and he participates. And, you know, my ex is like, Judy, you know, he can't act like you. That is not, and I'm like, but I'm not going to squelch who he is. They all say he's charming and they love having him in class. And, you know, but it's like, what do you say? I'm like, it's a surprise he's not like in a fucking fetal position banging his head again. I'm his fucking mother that he's not rocking back and forth in the back. Like, get me the fuck out of here. And it's like, how do you, I mean, I had them watching both kids. South Park at a young age.
Oh, yeah.
Do you don't censor,
yeah,
right?
No,
South
no,
Park,
censor.
King of the Hill. I want them to know what's funny and that there's no boundaries, really, with funny. And
those guys always end up getting class clown awards, though. That's how you tell
them. They don't
do
that anymore, though.
They don't, really?
Not in New York. Not in New York.
That's
City.
A shame.
No, they don't do that.
That was always the award you could give the, quote, bad kid that wasn't really bad, just had too much ADD, you know?
Right,
so, you're the class clown.
But do you promote fun? Like, I have a rule in the house that my kids don't get, they can say whatever they want, mean to me, and they won't get in trouble if it's funny. Like, if it's really funny,
love that rule.
They don't, it's like, all right, that was funny, even though it was abusive.
See, this is the problem I have.
Right.
If one of my kids comes out with a dirty word, I can't, you know, with a straight face.
Right.
Tell them, don't
say
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, don't. You cannot say cunt. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can't say it. I mean, don't say it at school. Don't call your teacher. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With me, it's like if I was telling them, you know, don't say blowjob. Not that I ever heard them say blowjob. But I couldn't with a straight face.
Right.
Tell them not to.
Do they make you laugh? I mean, my
all
kids make...
Oh,
I'll be like, Ben, can you take the recycling down? You're racist. I mean, it's like... everything is your. I mean, we fucking laugh all the time, and people are like, you know, it's like those uptight parents at school. You know, because we both go to public school,
yeah,
you know the uptight parents who are overly involved, and like, you know, I've had people like my kids fight. They used to fight all the time, and I had one parent, you know. Jonathan doesn't feel safe with Henry there because Ben and Henry. I'm like, okay, fine. Bye. Yeah. Wow. You know, what the fuck? Brothers fight, you know? It's like these people are. And you know what else I can't stand? This is kill me now-ish. I had Ben had this friend. And, you know, Ben is always joking around. And he's so the sweet. He has the biggest heart of, you know, you've
met him.
He's the sweetest, right? He's the sweet. So
it's weird how nice he is.
Right. And so one kid was like, went to his parents, said, Ben's bullying me. I mean, like, he is the last person. But it turned out he wasn't in the group and Ben was making jokes, you know, but, you know, they make jokes about everyone and he wasn't in the group. So then the parent calls me every time there was an issue. You know, I'm making up names. Jeremy felt really, really upset about Ben. It's like, let your kids figure the shit out themselves. Like, these parents who call you to fight their kids' battles, or this one feels that, it's, I want to fucking kill them. Yeah. You know, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not involved. I have no idea.
That
you
would
know,
happen
that's,
to me a lot as a kid. My dad was a pastor, and all the kids of the church would come to my dad and be like, oh, Lauren's such an asshole to my kids.
Well, I still...
Yeah, I mean, it was true.
So
was
I might have to call
case.
Your father. But it's, you know.
Aren't you my father?
So you can't judge other people's parenting. And yet, I'm sure you are judged. Like, oh, my God, what kind of dad is he? And it's like, oh, she's so crazy. I wonder what. And it's like, whose kids are happier?
We laugh all the time.
We crack the fuck up. But don't people say shit to you all the time?
Oh, of course. Of course.
And you seem like... like the I remember we were at the benefit.
Yeah.
And Dara comes over to me and says, Gilbert just said to me, I made their lunches in the morning so you don't have to get up. And I was like, oh my God.
Wait, he writes little notes.
In the lunches? I used to do that.
Yeah. Oh. And Max saves them all.
Yes.
He does?
Yeah. He,
I was cleaning out the lunchbox, and there's like a little zipper on
what
the
top. What does it say?
And I pulled out. There was a stack. He saved every single one.
Oh, my God.
Gilbert.
He's a hoarder like you.
So now he can be on TV?
Yeah, right.
On Hoarders.
Well, no, but great. What did they say? What did they? I used to write. I used to write just like, I love you so much.
Yeah, I love you, or have a nice day.
Yeah, same.
And then I draw like basically a smiley face or a frowning.
Or a monster. Little monster.
That's really thoughtful and nice.
I used to do that all the time. That's... And then they were like, no.
Oh,
they just act like that because, you know, they have to.
No,
they don't mean
like,
it.
Stop
they
it.
Don't mean it.
Yeah.
No.
And then it was like, there was one point where Henry was like, no more juice boxes. Okay, mommy? No more juice boxes. Okay, we're done with the apple juice.
At what point did your kids get to that age where they said to you, okay, you can drop, you can leave me here. I'll walk the rest of the way to school.
It was sixth grade. It was kind of like fifth grade, where it was like, you're not picking me up anymore. But sixth grade, middle school, they are like, bye-bye. And I was like, and it's like, you know, I look at Henry, he's 19, and I remember he used to stand at the window whenever I had a lead for a gig, and then when I came home, he would run up the street.
Oh, yeah.
And I look at him now, and it's the same face, and it's like, fuck you, mommy. You know, but...
fuck you, mommy.
But it's like, you always remember, it's so sad, it like really does fly by. But, you know, I don't know, it's, you're gonna, it's bad.
Enjoy, it's not over yet, enjoy.
I know, you're lucky.
Susan, I'm so glad you came to visit. It's been too long.
Isn't that the truth? This is the first time I've seen your new home at the Good Samaritan Society. I hope you're staying entertained now that life has slowed down.
Slowed down? I've been more active here than I've been in years. Come on now. We're late for aerobics class.
Aerobics? I thought we were having coffee.
That's after aerobics. And cards with the girls. Oh, and I scheduled a hair appointment for us at 3, and dinner's at 5.
Betty, slow down. I don't know if I have the energy to do all this. I had no idea you were staying so active.
That's what I love about this place. I can be as active as I want to be, and that means I'm staying busy.
I can see that.
To learn how the Good Samaritan Society can help you enjoy life on your terms, visit us today at good-sam.com or call 855-GOOD-SAM. That's good-sam.com or call 855-GOOD-SAM.
I remember some guy was telling me, like, with his daughter, he would put her to sleep all the time. And
really?
It was always, yeah.
With a pillow?
Yeah. And
at
she
the
would
vet?
Always say,
or, yeah.
You know, tell me a story,
right.
Sing me a song,
right.
You know, rub my head, whatever.
Right.
And after a while, he said he was getting annoyed, like
right.
having to do. And he said then one night he was putting her to bed, and she said he said good night, and she goes okay, good night.
I know.
And then he goes, oh my God.
Right.
Yeah.
I used to be like that. Why do they want me to come? But Ben is 14, and he still is like, come in and say goodnight.
Will you bring my baba in?
He's so he doesn't say that.
I'm joking.
I know, but he's going to kill you when he
really
sees you.
He can kill
but
me.
He's like, mommy, come say goodnight. And he still texts me, like, love you. And and Henry was like, get out. I hate you. When I had a clinical depression, and Henry said, when we were fighting once, we had a fight in high school, and he's like, you were so much nicer when you were depressed.
Oh, gee.
And he, I mean, I was like, all right, that's a good one. But
see, Gilbert's like the perfect parent. Gilbert could do no wrong. I'm the disciplinarian one. I'm the one.
Oh, I can't discipline at all.
Yes.
I cannot discipline. Like, it's really, I know. It's
I'm
awful.
I'm the one that has to keep everything on track, and you got to do your homework. And
right.
Da, da, da. And Gilbert,
and I'm like
no rules, whatever.
I know, it's
he's
awful.
Like,
I'm
know,
like, oh, yeah, you want to do your homework at 11? Okay, that's fine. We'll watch The Daily Show, and you can do your homework.
Well, I remember when my daughter was like a baby.
Right.
Dara was leaving, and I had to take care of her and put her to bed. And when Dara comes home, it's like past midnight.
Right.
And I'm sitting on the couch.
Right.
With my daughter, who's like a few months old, and we're watching TV and eating potatoes.
What did you do? What did you do?
I was like, wait, you gotta be kidding me, Gilbert. Wait, what about the time when you forgot when you left her at home by herself?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
I
you forgot.
Out,
you forgot that
right,
she was there.
And I get a call. And
wait, what?
There,
it's not like leaving the baby in the car and going.
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah.
Was it like that?
Yeah. I pretty much.
Okay.
I was walking down the street and my cell phone rings and I answer it and it's Dara and she goes, "Oh, you know how are things going?" Blah blah blah. And then she goes, and where are you now? And I said, I'm gonna get something to eat. And she goes, is Lily with you? And I said, oh shit. I had
no way she
home.
Was sleeping.
I
she was napping.
Totally
he totally forgot that he was a new daddy. Totally
oh
was not
my
used to it.
God.
Totally forgot I had a kid.
I've heard
and
that. I've heard of that happening yeah. with new parents. Yeah.
That's
what?
So
how old was she?
Yeah,
she's a couple months old.
Yeah.
O-M-G. Now, did you ever... Wait, so you're 15. You're going to the library. And at night, you're going to do stand-up, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where did you go?
It was like these things where, I mean, most of those nights, you'd have to wait around the whole night.
Right.
With the hope that they would put
right,
you on
I
at
all.
Right,
I remember that, yeah.
And so there were a bunch of plays, so many of them closed.
I
yeah.
know. I remember when I started in the early 80s, I mean, you could go anywhere. They had
oh.
happy hours. I did street fairs.
Oh.
You could get so much stage time.
Every block
right.
practically had a comedy club. And some of them, some places would open and close
right,
like
right.
in the same night.
Right. Wait, so where was your first set?
You know, I thought it was the bitter end. Then my sister, my older sister, said it wasn't. So now I don't remember.
She just recently told you that, right? Just recently she told you that.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, that's weird.
She told your other sister, you know how we could really fuck
So your parents had no fucking idea where you were? Because you weren't in the dining room. So where were you? They were like, you're like leaving the...
I think they started to find out about that because, you know, you can't really leave and come back at 4 a.m. And I always think, like, you know, I always say this, like, when you get older, you get more rational.
Right.
So, like, when I started, it was a totally irrational thing that, oh, I'm going to be doing stand-up and be in movies. That's insane.
Right.
Now when I think about it, I think, my God, that's craziness.
Right.
And so I'm sure that was going on in my parents' minds.
Well, but you, those, I think back when I was like 18, 19, and I started doing stand-up, I thought,
that's when you started, 18, 19. Yes.
Yeah, 18, 19. And I was wearing a corset, and I could basically, I couldn't get the fucking punchline out. But... I remember that you think like, oh my God, I'm gonna. I remember I would see like Seinfeld or, you know, I remember I saw Ronnie Shakes one night at Catch, and he had just done the Tonight Show. And I remember seeing you and Larry Day. Like I saw, and I was, and Carol Leifer, and I'd be like, oh my God, this is. It's so that you're so stupid that you're fearless, you know.
Oh yeah.
But it's like that's what gets you into the business and keeps you in there, you know? And then you get older and realize, you know, everyone calls you a piece of shit. You're too this, you're too that.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, fuck you. And then,
What gets me, I always think, because, you know, like everybody in the business, you think, oh, my career's shit now.
Right.
It's rock bottom. And then I always remember, like, over the years, there were like a few billion people I'd see every single night at each club, and they fell off the earth.
Right. When I think back to the comics at the Strip, you know, at Catch, I mean, so many of them, I'm like, where the fuck did they go?
Yeah.
And I would die if I couldn't do stand. Wouldn't you just die?
Yeah, I don't remember their names.
Right.
And I can't. I'll get a flashback where I'll think, oh, that guy, he used to wear glasses.
Right.
And the other guy came in with a scarf.
Right.
And I don't know where the hell he's
right.
Do you think it's mostly, do you think it has a lot to do with the numbers game of success in your field?
I think
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
but
it's
I also,
sticking around and these guys, falling off.
Do you think you worked harder? Or they worked hard too? I mean,
or do you just kind of
I feel like I would die. Like, I would literally die if I couldn't do stand-up, and I don't think they felt that.
Because for you, Gilbert, it became like an obsession.
Oh,
and you were there
same.
Every single
every night.
Night.
Every night.
You like, put in your hours.
And it was like I had nothing if I didn't do a set.
That's
I had
it.
Nothing.
He had
I couldn't
to do
sleep.
It.
Yeah.
I missed a gig once because I was obsessed with exercise, too. And I was like, I have to run in the morning, and I have to do a set. And there was a snowstorm, and I was like, I was so obsessed with running at the time. But I get like that. And even if I don't, if you're working on something, a project, and you're like, after like 4 days, I'm like, I got to do a set. Yeah.
It's like I would go through snowstorms where the trains weren't working to get to the club.
To the gig.
Uphill?
No shoes.
Nowadays, if somebody said, it's a club, we want you to do 5 minutes for $20 million. I go, oh, God, on Thursday, I was going to say, like, a rerun of Caroline the City I wanted to catch. But, boy, back then I had
Same. It's like, and now, if I have a gig coming up and I haven't done a set in a certain, like, a week or something, I'm like, oh, my God, what the fuck is that? You told everyone to turn off their fucking phones.
I'm turning off everything.
Right. But I feel
it's not her phone. That was a cow. Just kidding.
Is that right? So, but I feel like, I still feel that. You know, I feel like I've gone out, I've done like one person shows and this and that, but I always, like when I was on All American Girl, you know, with Margaret Cho, and I was, you know, those people who would do stand up just to get a sitcom.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so they'd be like, here's my 8 minutes. I live with my grandmother. Hey, it's so hard, you know, because she has Alzheimer's. And I'm like, hey, Grandma, what time is it? And she's like, green, you know, and I hated that they would get all this. They were good looking or they were this, but they weren't real stand ups. They were using it to get something else. And when I was on that show, they would all be like, let's have dinner tonight. I'd be like, oh, I have a spot. And they were like, why? You're on a sitcom. Why are you doing spots? And I was like, I wanted to do them more because I was reading some other people's lines all day that I had to get on stage. And, you know, it's like, have to do it.
And I remember those. There was a lot of them who wanted to get the sitcom out of it. And they start throwing in, like, an accent.
Right.
To show my range.
Right. I couldn't stand it. So you're doing... All right, so you're a stand-up, and then you get on SNL.
Yeah.
1980.
And you... Was that from an audition? Like, I remember they used to go to the comic strip, or did they had just seen you?
Yeah, they had come in. I think they saw me at Catch... And they'd come in, and then I was asked to go on an audition.
Right.
And then I auditioned a bunch of times.
So what did you do for your audition?
I think, like, it was my act, mainly, and some improvising. And, and this is just funny. I remember hearing about other people who were auditioning, and they were saying they were, like, so nervous, and they were angrily looking at the other people. I don't remember. See, that's how out of it I was, that I was auditioning for Saturday Night Live and I really didn't care for some reason.
Right. That's why you get so much work.
Yeah.
But that's true, because it's, you're like, fuck it.
But
you
see, now if I was auditioning,
you'd be all like, oh fuck. Yeah. I know.
Wasn't Woody Allen there?
I'd go, oh fuck, oh fuck. I would be singing, oh fuck, oh fuck,
oh fuck.
Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Fuck, fuck, fuck. And I feel like that girl from the Brady Bunch.
Marsha!
Her.
Oh, God.
That
was...
And yeah, and when I got fired from Saturday Night Live, I wasn't that,
you didn't,
like,
you were like, oh.
But you know what I thought when I was fired from Saturday Night Live? Back then, I thought it was going to be like, oh, God, everyone on the streets looking at
me.
Saying that was, and for the rest of my life.
Right.
But it's Saturday Night Live, it's kind of like those movies where the cavemen are battling the dinosaurs.
Right.
They were billions of years apart.
Right.
But it falls together.
Right.
So I could say I was on any season I want.
That's true.
But wait, so they hired you, and then they hardly put you in anything, right?
Yeah.
You were a dead body.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Right. Huh. Yeah, that's how much the writers hated me.
Right.
They wrote me in as
a dead
body.
But didn't you have to write, too?
I would, every now and then I'd write something. And here's something. I remember I once wrote a sketch for when David Carradine was going to be the host. And I remember during read-through, he said to me he liked that sketch. And then the writers had a brainstorm.
Oh, because they...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because he liked you.
Yeah, yeah. They had a real brainstorm. And they decided in his old show, which had been off the air for several years, Kung Fu, he was wandering from town to town and just getting involved in people's lives. And they said, how about he's that character and he just wanders from sketch to sketch?
Oh, my God.
And then so when they did the show, within the first sketch, you go, oh, boy, this is not working.
Right.
And it had to continue throughout the whole show.
Right. And even in the dress rehearsal, don't they have a show before that they do, right?
But I guess it was too late to change everything.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then you were in another sketch. It was you and another person. Wait, did I write it down? Fuck. Shit. You did 12 episodes. Oh, God. There was
Charlie Rocket?
Yes, Charlie Rocket.
Oh, yeah. That was around the time when Dallas, the show Dallas, Larry Hagman was JR.
Right.
And he gets shot at the end of one season. And then...
I don't remember that. JR got shot?
Yeah.
Who shot him? Spoiler alert. Yeah.
And that was the big thing. They kept advertising who shot JR.
Right, that was
the cliffhanger and everything. And so we did one, Who Shot CR, Charles Rocket. And so at the end of the show, we're asked to stretch.
Right.
And that's usually the...
What?
Yeah. When we come out for the good night.
Right.
Sometimes they say stretch because the show ran
and
short.
Okay, go ahead.
And that's when every host goes, it's been a great cast. I've never had this much fun. Tammy, go to sleep. And and so we had a stretch. So I think Charlene Tilton was the host, and she puts the mic to Charles Rocket and says, how do you feel, Charlie? And he's like in a wheelchair with his arm bandaged. And he goes, well, this is the first time I've ever been shot, and I'd like to know who the fuck did it.
You got in so much trouble, right?
And this, what they went crazy over this. All the papers and all the news shows. And the funny thing is, in the season before, someone had said fuck, but they were doing well, hears it.
Right.
And since then, it's popped up on the show a couple of times.
All the time.
But, you know, if the show's doing okay...
It's fine.
Then, but if the show's doing badly, and how many times I've read where they said, he said fuck, and they fired the cast, and I go, well, wait. If the reason is he said fuck, if that's the reason, why would you fire everybody?
Wow. At the end of SNL, when they're all standing, like, that part at the end where they're all like, hey, thank you so much. And shut the fuck up. Like, it's so annoying.
So clumsy.
And it's like, oh, you guys are best friends now. We're going to go. And then the cast members who see each other every fucking day for 16 hours a day are, like, hugging you. Like, what
it
the
fuck?
It
used to make sense, I think. Don't you think? It was more like a curtain call, sort of.
Oh, yeah.
Thanking the audience.
No, I'm watching that to see who, like, talks to each other and who doesn't talk to each other. But what are they saying? Like,
they're all fake.
What do they say to each other?
I don't know. It's just... clumsiness.
Right.
Like, it's standing ridiculous. There.
Right.
I hated being out there.
I know. And you wave. Some people wave. And then you're like, oh, no one's talking to him.
I would used to come out, not to be cool, but just because I felt so uncomfortable, I would put on a pair of sunglasses.
I never knew that. Just
because I couldn't stand. I felt so uncomfortable.
Right, because you're so exposed.
Yeah.
And it's like you... I feel like, as a comic, you want to control the situation.
Oh, yes.
And then
you're
out there, you're standing there like, hey, good night, everybody.
Yeah, the most insecure group of people.
This one's my friend. I'm going to go hug. You know, it's like,
You sounded like Elvis Presley having a stroke.
This is what I hate, too. This is another kill me. I fucking hate... on award shows when they do the, you know, first the show brave. It was show brave of this person. And, when they say, okay, kids, daddy won, go to sleep. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, your kids, or you're not without some fucking nanny.
Yeah.
You fucking paid, you know.
Well, I love when these major actresses talk about being a single mom.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Right. It's like they're up changing the diapers.
Right.
They're, and you know, like they've got a separate house for the kid.
Right.
And they have like 100 nannies there. You know, shut the fuck up. You're a single mom.
You're a single bitch is what you are.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
We have a lot in common in the fact that my mother used to, I used to, every time I went to a hotel, I had to give her the soap.
Really?
I took a photo of the drawer. She had a drawer. It was soap, shampoo, the tooth, everything. And I used to do a joke about how I used to, my mother used to be like, you know, and she would travel with me sometimes. And I said, she used to go down the hallway trick-or-treating, knocking on people's doors. Look, you're bald. Give me your shampoo right now. And I saw that photo of you with your fucking bin of shit. And I was like, oh my God, that is so me. I can't throw anything out either.
I'm obsessed.
Oh, right.
I go into a hotel.
Right.
First thing I do is go into the bathroom.
Right.
Take the shampoos, the conditioner,
but wait, when you check
lotion.
In, first, yeah, when you check in.
Oh, when I check in, first I ask for the complimentary razor and...
Really?
Yeah, always. And toothbrush.
There's a routine. There's
Oh, yeah, because they never provide that unless you ask.
Yeah, you have to ask for that. And do you use it, or do you...
Oh, I have giant, like, Santa Claus.
Wait, this is the best story. So when you were moving from your old apartment and we bought a place and we were moving in together.
Yes.
Okay. And I was trying to, you know, downsize and move. And I mean, he had an entire bedroom filled with soap. I mean, it was unbelievable. So
yeah, like I had soaps from when they used to have bars of soap. On planes.
He had Pan Am and Eastern Airlines.
No fucking way.
Yes.
Yeah, he had Pan Am and Eastern Airlines.
They had like the paper wrapper. Those tiny
the paper
little...
one. Yeah.
And
it was, like tissue paper kind of.
So wait. I had hundreds.
You'd sell
those
on eBay.
So I said, we need to donate it. We need to do something. You got to get, this is too much. We can't take all this to our new apartment. So he said, he called his sisters and he said, can I give you guys some soap? Because he was just killing him, you know, to get rid of it. So they said, well, we don't want the little bars, but we'll take big bars. So the next day was Mother's Day. We go to Mother's Day, and Gilbert shows up with a big trash bag. I'm talking like major, huge trash bag. I open it up, and what were you doing all night?
I had taken unwrapped every tiny soap.
No way.
Wait,
yes.
That's better.
Unwrapped every tiny soap.
Bars of soap.
And had the bathroom faucet running. I was getting them
wet. No way.
Pressing them together.
No way.
Yes.
So you had one big, huge.
Yes.
No, it was.
Yeah.
He had bars. He made bars. He made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bars with
it
smushed
like
little soaps together.
Real art.
Oh my God.
Each one was like this big.
The points were sticking in each different.
You would be.
How heavy was that?
Oh my God! It was
wait.
Like
so
gross.
Wait. So you open the thing, and what happened?
I mean, it was filled with these like
mega
bars that he
sculptures.
Made of. he squished them all. I guess they were they used it.
Yeah.
Wait. Now this is what Gilbert has in our shower. He squishes the bars together.
That is, well,
you could sell these.
You could sell those, Gilbert.
I'm not even joking.
Oh my God. That is fucking hilarious. I mean, the homeless people would enjoy you.
No, we did. I made them donate some, but it was really hard for you.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know.
Funny.
It's hard for me to throw. It's like, keep the memory, throw out the item. Keep the
memory. Oh, that's bullshit.
I know.
You got to keep the item, and you don't have to remember.
Well, did I tell you what Lily did for her science project this year?
Make soap sculptures?
No. Gilbert and I were on a business trip or something, and I ran out of my toothpaste, so I used his toothpaste, and the color was like, it was like really disgusting, and it was like liquid, and I said, oh, and I looked at the expiration date and expired in 1987.
No way! Yes! I have that shit too.
So Lily, I told my daughter, I was like, Gilbert said, it's still good. It's still good.
No way. 1987.
It's still good.
It's basically like brushing
That's
with
30
yogurt.
She did a science experiment whether fluoride is still good in toothpaste and whether toothpaste is still good. So we went through all of Gilbert's old toothpaste and gathered like ones that were 20, 30 years old. It was
hilarious.
So funny.
So wait,
and then Gilbert says, you're not going to use all that, are you? Can I have back whatever you have left, whatever's left over?
And then child services came
up. What was the answer? How long does fluoride last?
Well, our 8-year-old figured out that over the last 10 years, it's still good.
Wow.
But past 10 years,
that's,
you don't want to use it
not
anymore.
Bode well for your fucking ordering. Yeah. Oh my God, that's such, I have things that are from, you know, I'm like, oh, this relish is still good, and then it's like, oh, it's 2004. Sorry. Oh,
yeah. I'll sneak bad. Into her fridge and throw shit out sometimes.
Yeah, it's bad. All right. So you, how did you guys meet? You met at a Grammy party?
That makes him uncomfortable.
Oh, okay, yeah, forget it.
That's totally.
Yeah, we met at a Grammy.
Oh, now none of us want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Great.
No, he was there for the free food. I used to work in the music business.
I know.
Yada,
what,
yada,
what
yada.
Did
you
shacked
up. Yeah.
Radio promotion. Radio promotion.
Because you are the greatest couple. I swear to God, you're such a good couple.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, I'm not kidding. I know you're looking at me like, go shut fuck
Gracie
yourself.
Judge Gracie. No, I heard. Here's a rumor I heard about George Burns.
What?
And Gracie Allen.
What?
That, after Gracie Allen died,
yeah,
and George meets with Georgie Jessel later on
right.
that night at the Friars or Hillcrest.
The day she died?
Oh, well, maybe
all right,
a few
good.
Days
George,
later.
All right, yeah.
And he said, you know, Gracie didn't leave me anything in her will. And Georgie Jessel said to him, well, that's because you fucked everybody in town and Gracie knew it.
Well, so cool.
Did he fuck everyone in town?
That's why, according to Georgie Jessel.
I mean.
Oh, my God. Thank God my mother's not here because I would have called her. No, that is not what happened, Jody. So,
something about that cigar.
Whatever. Your artwork,
yes,
is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah,
like,
thank you.
It's unbelievable. You are such a good artist.
Those soap sculptures, they bring tears.
He draws tears.
I know.
Like, it's unbelievable. Do you want to pursue?
But you
that?
Know what? What's so weird
right.
is most of those I did when I was like a teenager
in the library.
Home, I'd be scribbling.
I don't think most people know that you draw.
Yeah, and I think since I started to get more and more time on stage,
right,
I stopped drawing,
right,
because. Back then, that was the way to get
right,
out.
Right, to get out your thing. Yeah, that's like me with the piano. I don't play as much, and but you're, I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, and it's original. It's like, it's not like some, oh, he's like blank, or he's like this one. It's so original, and it's
well,
amazing.
Most people say it's like Chagall.
Oh, I heard Monet.
Where can people see your art?
Oh, God, please.
Seriously?
Can they buy it? I'm talking for our audience. Can people find it and buy copies
do you ever
or images
think of selling
or print
it?
There's a way.
Why can't you come out with a book?
There's a way of selling it for several million.
We've thought about it. We should look into that.
You could do prints for...
I have a house in P-Town. That's Provincetown. It's all art galleries.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. If you did a stand-up set... And, you know, had an art gallery showed your work. I mean, it's so good.
Yeah.
Call it
Gallery. In your old apartment, you used to have everything under your, like, collecting dust
like
underneath your bed.
How much stuff do you have?
Oh,
But I framed everything. I had everything framed.
You do?
And put, I framed it all.
Not
but
a
he had it underneath
amount.
His bed. He had it, like, in, you know, collecting dust.
Like, did anyone ever say, Gilbert, that's brilliant? Or you never showed it to anyone?
I mean, some people over the house are impressed or whatever.
Right.
But yeah.
The inside of your book, it's, you have, inside cover, it's one drawing is in there.
Yeah.
We should do something with
it. I never had Vincent Price over to go.
Right.
All right. So if you want to get
a
print of Gilbert's artwork, tweet. At him and let him know.
Wait,
at Real
think?
Gilbert.
What?
At
we'll
Real
start
Gilbert.
A campaign. We'll
at Real Gilbert.
Yeah, if you want some Gottfried art.
Why do you think you became so obsessed with horror. Like, I was obsessed with sitcoms, right?
Yes.
And, like, all these perfect families, and everything was great, and everyone got along. You
now,
know?
What character was your favorite?
You know, I really, you know who I loved? And I watch a lot of shows, but I'm like, Marsha Brady! Marsha! But you were always obsessed with horror movies.
Yes.
Why do you, what do you think it was about the horror movies?
I don't know why, but it was like, I remember growing up, I say like the best film school in the country was in your living room.
Right.
Because like they used to just pack it with movies.
Right.
They didn't have as much TV shows.
Right, right, right.
So like one channel would be playing the gangster films with Bogart and Cagney. Mm-hmm. And the other, they'd have musicals, silent films. And I just fell in love with the old monster movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were so bad. I mean, as far as the special effects.
The claymation. So good, though.
But I love that part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
do you think it's lost something now because it's so real and it's so...
Yeah. Like, when I was a kid, I watched Janie turn into the Wolfman.
Right.
And even then, I figured out, well, like, click the camera on, add more hair, click it off. But it worked for me. And still, when I see those films, it works for me.
Right, right.
And when I see it computerized stuff, it seems too slick.
Right? I know, I can't stand it.
Like, I knew with King Kong they had a doll and they were moving it inch by inch.
Right.
But it works.
Right.
It's like with the Star Wars movies, when he went back and digitized all of them, it just lost so much of the reality and the puppetry and...
Like, I knew with King Kong, I knew it would be a small doll that they just moved around.
Yeah.
But you knew you could touch King Kong.
Right, right.
And with, like, all these
King Kongs, I know.
It's just...
And then you show your kids that, and they're like, that's not real. And it's like, yes, it is. We used our imagination.
Yes. Right?
They don't have to think. Like, no one has to think or create. And it's so... I feel like we're getting so fucking stupid. And it's so awful, like you, like this fucking Twitter. Like, remember when you used to think a thought, and then you thought it, and that was the end of it.
Oh,
and it's like now,
the world has to know. I can't fucking take it. Everybody,
I don't give a shit what the fuck you're thinking.
Twitter was created for Gilbert.
To
begin with,
an expensive,
for me to lose jobs. It's like I remember growing up. There would be like a handful of columnists that everyone would read.
Right.
A handful of anchor people that everyone listened to. A handful of critics.
Right.
And these were the people. They were educated and you listened to them. Now everybody.
Yelp. Yeah, you know, when I go on fucking Yelp or something and everyone's like five stars. And then there's this like miserable Fabissina. I walked in, I had my dog. They told me to tie the dog outside. I will never, and it goes on. It's like, fuck you, you know? And then their stars go down because of some fucking miserable, it's awful. It's like so many people have a platform and yet you say, first of all, comics speak to one another differently than we speak. And like, so your tsunami jokes and I mean, I was fucking hysterical. It was fucking hysterical. And yet, it's too soon. It's too soon. It's never too soon for a We can't cope. I can't cope with that.
That's how he deals with tragedy.
Right.
You turn it into a joke.
Right.
And
they say tragedy plus time. But it's like, who's the fucking time?
Whoever hired you is an idiot then, because they had no idea who you are.
But it's not.
Well, my favorite tweet that I got around that time, somebody tweeted, Affleck fires Gilbert Gottfried after discovering he's a comedian.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right,
And with the comedy tragedy mask, right? They go together.
Yeah.
It's comedy,
but it's also
tragedy.
That you're now a brand. You know, it's like if you are doing something for a certain company and they're paying you a lot of money, then you're that brand and you can't be who you really are.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just, no, it shouldn't be like that. And it is like corporations are taking over. It's what, like, mm-hmm. in the past 10 years, people are like, well, what's your brand?
Oh, yes.
I don't know, Jew. I don't know who my brand is.
Jesus, then get out.
Yeah, right. But it's like, you need to brand. No, I know. You need to perform and you need to shut the fuck up about branding me.
Yes.
Do you have a barcode on the back of your neck?
It's awful. Don't you think it's like.
Oh, it's insane.
And then you go in a club. Now, never before have I heard more.
Oh yes.
Than ever. Are you fucking kidding me?
I love, like, Affleck fired me.
Right.
And said, oh, he's a horrible person. We want nothing. So they hire a guy to imitate
you
for less money.
Right.
That's so,
right.
Now
we're gonna still use your brand.
Yes.
But
would that be
ironies?
Yeah, it would be kind of like if Subway hired another child molester as their spokesman.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, that's like after SNL fired you, everyone did you for their audition tape for SNL.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So wait, so now, oh God, this stuff fucking pisses me off so much. But honestly, so now, all right, there's two people, like Howard. Howard is now a brand.
Oh, yes.
And I mean, I was a fan from like high school. I mean, because he was so irreverent. And now it's like, I love him. I mean, I love him for what he created. But it's like, okay, so it's different. It's just different.
Well, he hates doing his show now. He doesn't even like it. He's like.
But you were you and he were like really close friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was on that show more than he was.
Right. But even when you met in your 30s, like you were. Yeah. You
used to roll out of bed.
Yeah. Yeah. We just hit it off right away. We just had a chemistry.
Right.
And you just roll out of bed and just say, okay, I'm going to go on today. And you'd walk over and just walk in. Go
and
on.
Then now is it you just, have you been on? Or you
I
just...
don't remember the last time I was on. Yeah. Yeah. It's changed.
April of 2011.
And
what?
Huh. Yeah.
It's been 5 fucking years?
Yeah, but I've been trying to get some new material together.
But how does that feel? It's
so weird because... Would the Howard from years ago be a judge on America's Got Talent?
Right.
No.
And would he be showing up at Jennifer Aniston's wedding?
No.
Yeah.
He's panicking, I think, or I don't know. He's become a curmudgeon, but he just wants to stay relevant.
I don't know.
But
I feel like
he's doing the minimal.
I feel like he's getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
He denies the existence of podcasts.
He doesn't like podcasts. But, you know, it's amazing.
He's on a podcast.
Yeah.
He doesn't even realize.
Right, but it's so sad that, wait a minute, so you're in another universe now, so because that was what made him, that he had you on, and he had Artie, and he had all these people that were so eccentric and so fucking funny and flawed. And it was so great, but now
interesting.
You think? Although, it was more fascinating.
Yeah.
Although now I feel like I can't get angry about it because I kind of feel like, oh, see, without me, he's only making $27 million. He's only making, you know, $549 billion.
Yeah. I don't know. That and, wait, what else did I want to ask you? Oh, so, all right. Trump. All right. Yeah. First of all, you did Celebrity Apprentice. I remember because Dara's like, can you go down to the pie place?
Right.
And I was like, fuck, I can't, but I wanted to.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So you did Celebrity Apprentice. What we've done a lot of, like, you did Celebrity Wife Swap.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are the ones that convinced me to do it. And then...
Your guys' episode was great.
Yeah.
Thank
for
you.
The record, you got to check out Gilbert and Dara's Celebrity Wife Swap episode. I mean, you've already checked out Judy. And if you haven't, then stop listening to the show and go watch it now and then come back.
Yours was great. And Dara was like instrumental in, you know, saying, just do it. And then you did Rachel versus Guy. I did Rachel. But that is the fucking funniest, that you made a fucking peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I peed in my pants when I watched that. I really peed in my pants.
When I heard that, because it was before it aired, I was like, God, that is the most brilliant thing. And you got out right away?
Well, what happened was, I made that. Of course, nobody was particularly impressed with a guy who can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Were they even the ingredients or no?
Yeah. And it was like, so they said to me, well, you've got another chance. The two losers have to compete. So I made another peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Which one was better?
You think he wanted to say on the show?
Yeah.
But did you care? You didn't care.
Oh, but for the second peanut butter and jelly, I took a strawberry, sliced it up, and put it on
the
top. You know,
so it was like a 2-year-old made it.
That is fucking hilarious. What did they say? Like, did Rachel or God? Which team were you on?
Yeah, I was on Rachel's team.
Yeah. And was she pissed?
No. She basically thought of me as like a half-witted 2-year-old and said, oh, well, that was very nice. Some people like peanut butter.
That's hilarious. So,
but every time I've gone on these shows like Celebrity Apprentice, when I get fired, it is the biggest relief on the planet.
Right. It's so anxiety provoking. Yeah. You can't even sleep. And they make it, it's like that Rachel versus Guy was like 18 hours a day.
Oh, yes.
And it was just like, and you're so nervous, and they talk, and you know, it's like, oh, and if I lose, and
it's stressful watching it.
Yeah. So Trump, you were doing Celebrity Apprentice, and you were on for 3 episodes, right?
I think so.
And what?
Nice.
And then he fired you. Were you like, thank God?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I love getting fired from... If I could get fired like halfway through the first show. I would love to do Survivor, show up on the island and go, you know, I don't think I can take it. And then...
For the Amazing Race. You know what? I'm just going to stay here.
I don't know. I was never a good runner. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on his candidacy? I thought
that when he first started running,
this was a joke.
Yeah,
totally.
Roseanne Barr for president, Gary Coleman, these celebrities,
Jack in the box.
Yeah,
I almost feel like this is a movie. Like
I do too, like, and that he's going to be like, just kidding. But I think he so believes this power, and yet...
Did he start believing it halfway through, you think? After it from the beginning?
Was he like that on Celebrity Apprentice?
I mean, he was nice to me. Mm-hmm. I have a bunch of people in the business, and I'm very happy to use that cliche.
Right.
Well, he was always nice to me.
Right. Uh-huh.
Right.
Sure. Right. But it's true. It's like,
aren't you fucking freaking out?
Well, what was weird is at one of his rallies, he asked everyone to lift their hands.
That's so Nazi.
What did you say?
Do you know when Hitler was coming into power, people were originally going, that's so Nazi! That's so Nazi! Even Goebbels was saying, that's so Nazi! Himmler was watching.
That's a new show on Nickelodeon. That's a Nazi.
Coming up on the History Channel, that's so Nazi!
No, but
hashtag
Martin
that's
Borman
so Nazi
said that's so Nazi. Joseph Mengele used to watch him and go, that's so Nazi.
Next on that's so Nazi. They used to say that about Hitler. They used to say, oh, he's crazy, that'll never happen.
And that's so Nazi.
Now it's got gay. That's so not gay. Guys have to see Andy Cohen as my next guest on That's So Nazi.
Hey. See, it's like, I heard like when Hitler was originally, oh, that guy's a joke.
Right.
Yeah.
May I? I read an article written around sometime last year. Ivanka Trump had told her lawyers when they were divorcing that he was telling like weird behaviors of his, that he had kept a copy of Mein Kampf next to his bed.
Oh, geez.
And would read it from time to time. I forgot who gave it to him, but you can find out, and he admits, he's like, yeah, I gave it to him. I thought he'd think it was interesting. But apparently he keeps it by his bed and he reads passages out of it on a regular basis.
But that's so Nazi!
I'm saying.
You want to know what's not so Nazi?
What?
That his daughter converted to Orthodox.
Yes, she's not strange.
She's kosher.
Yeah, and they're orthy.
Yes.
And they have two kids.
Yes. Wasn't Hitler a Jew?
No, he was.
That was the famous rumor. That's because people didn't like Hitler,
so they wanted him to be a Jew, like Jesus. Yeah.
But it was all. I think I read that he, you know, whoever delivered him was a Jew, and he had a micro penis. So,
yeah, they said he had a deformed penis in one ball.
Right.
That's more than I got.
And you wonder why he was angry.
That's no excuse.
That is so Nazi.
That's so Nazi.
He liked sexual.
According to some article, Hitler, on top of that, having a mangled dick and one ball, he liked to get shit on.
No way!
That's so Nazi!
He would be sexually turned on by being shit on.
All this makes
that
so
is
much
so
sense.
Disgusting.
And in three words, That's so Nazi!
Do you think he was killed? Do you think he died when people say he died?
Yeah, no?
Because nobody saw him
get killed.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
And a lot of people fled to Argentina. I'm just curious about what your thoughts are on that.
He can't flee.
I mean, Argentina was like arms wide open for Nazis.
Right. And there's a lot of Jews there.
Yeah.
There are.
Yeah, I know. They live peacefully because the Nazis don't want to be...
Right.
They don't want to talk about it.
But that is so Nazi.
That is so Nazi, right?
So I love the story about the autistic kid. Like that.
Oh,
is,
we love them, Owen Susskind. Oh,
so this kid is so severely autistic.
They're like family. They're like family.
But he related to your character and your voice.
What happened? I didn't know any of this was going on.
In the New York Times.
Yeah.
There was an article.
I read that article.
Yeah.
And then I read the follow-up.
Yeah.
His father, Ron Susskind.
Ron Susskind had an autistic son. And he was 6 years old. And it's like the autism, he was even sinking lower and lower.
Mm.
And he could not communicate with the parents. They took him to every doctor. They couldn't communicate. But he would sit and watch Disney animated films each day. And he liked Aladdin. And one day the father came into the room and he saw like a hand puppet of my character, Iago.
Right.
And it's a parrot. And he, so the father with like, who gives a fuck?
Right.
I don't know what to do. He puts it on his hand and starts doing an imitation of me. And he says, "Hello, Owen." And the kid turns around and looks at the parrot in the eyes and says hello to him.
Oh, my God.
First time he spoke. Yeah. First time he spoke since he was 2 years old and lost his language.
And then he says, as the parrot.
How did he keep talking with the parrot?
Yeah.
I would have freaked the fuck out. Like, oh, my God, don't ruin this.
Yeah. And then
he starts speaking in Disney
as
dialogue.
In my voice, he goes, how are you? And he goes, I'm not happy. I don't have any friends. And it was
What the hell?
Yeah, their first conversation.
Because your voice has actually been known to cause autism in some kids.
That's so Nazi! Wait, so the father must have, like, just started bawling, crying, like...
Huge breakthrough. So then from then, they started speaking to him in Disney dialogue, and we were able to, like, converse with their son.
And you went and met him, right?
Yeah.
But see, the article comes out and everybody starts calling us saying, did you read this? Did you read this? Because they talk about him. So Ron's email was on there. So I emailed him and said, you know, we're so touched by this.
Right.
The phone rings 2 minutes later and it was like 2 hours on the phone. It was like family.
Right.
You know? And I said, they have to meet. They have to meet. So we decided that we would surprise Owen. And
wait, was it going to be weird because it wasn't coming out of a character and it was coming out of a human being? Or?
No, because at this point he's like, you know, how old is he now? 20. He was.
Yeah, I think he's 25. Now.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was still in school. This was a couple of years ago. He was graduating from a special school in Cape Cod.
He went to school for autistic kids.
Right.
And he started to form like a Disney club in the school where they'd act out Disney dialogue. And so we arranged the father as that they were going to be acting out Aladdin in the classroom. And when it came time for my part, that I would burst into the room.
So we took the train up together. Yeah.
We went. That's so Nazi!
So we surprised him. He had no idea that Gilbert was coming.
They're doing it. So they do it, and then you pop in.
Yeah, the kids went nuts.
Of course they did. I'm going nuts right now.
Amazing experiences of my life.
Did you cry?
Oh, I was sobbing. They were so excited. So excited.
And what did the child, the one that...
He was just beyond happy.
Is he still alive? That would have... God, what an amazing...
No, so there's a documentary out now. There's a documentary.
I would have died. I would have
called Life
Animated. Life Animated.
Oh, I have to see that.
It's going to be in Tribeca. It's going to be in Tribeca Film Festival.
Oh, are you in the Holocaust
check
movie?
It out.
The Holocaust
movie? Oh, yeah, he's in that
too. Oh, yeah, in that too.
Hey,
yeah.
I wouldn't miss the Holocaust.
Know, right? That's so Nazi! Are you going to the
premiere?
Yeah,
we'll go. Yeah.
Oh, good, I'll see you at the premiere.
And then there's the party afterwards. Yeah, we're going.
There's going to be a lot of food at the Holocaust party.
We went to Germany.
Right.
And Dara wanted to see Dachau.
Yes.
And
I thought that you would enjoy it.
Well, and I thought there's nothing I'd like more than to take Dara to Dachau.
So romantic. So,
and not surprisingly, the way you go to Dachau is by train.
Oh. That is so
Nazi!
I think we found a title for the show.
I can't not believe that happened. I mean, I cannot. I still to this day. And the people who are Holocaust deniers or Holocaust, what are they called? Revisionists. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh, yeah.
You motherfuckers.
Holocaust revisionists.
Yeah, they say, oh, not that many people died. Those are the people I'd like to fuck and kill.
I heard that I'd like to fuck and kill them.
Yes. That is so Nazi!
I heard when General Patton first saw the camps, he called Eisenhower and said, you have to have people come over here. They have to see what this is. And Eisenhower said, I want as much film and photos taken, because he said, some son of a bitch is going to say it didn't happen. Yeah.
Mm.
It's awful.
Wow. Can you believe
it? Oh, Nazi!
You guys are so annoying.
Right?
I know, but it's so funny.
Did Max just say
yesterday? My son was sitting on my lap. He's six. And I don't know, I started to talk in a voice or tickle him. And he said, "Stop it, Daddy. That's annoying."
He said, you're so annoying, Daddy. Stop. You're so annoying.
Oh, my God. That's
and you
funny.
Said, that's
you're
just
very
the beginning.
Perceptive.
Yeah, that made you laugh.
That is fucking... Did you ever think that you would be married with two kids?
No.
No, 10
years.
So
we dated 10 years.
I know,
10 years before we got married.
Yeah, and no one knew.
I feel like I'm waking up in a Twilight Zone episode where it's like, when is it? 3 o'clock. And no, what year is it?
Do you remember when we moved in together after 10 years of being together and your friend JJ called, who's like one of your closest friends, called from California, and I answered the phone. He had no idea that you had a girlfriend?
Thought,
for 10 years.
You thought, what, you hired a maid or something?
Did that not bother you?
Talk
to
her
No.
He's just a private
person.
It didn't bother me.
What is that? It just doesn't come up?
It hasn't come up for a while. So not gay!
You guys are so gay!
Do you think the swastika was his mangled dick?
just one of the sides.
No, nothing. I think the swastika was actually stolen because it. I think it was.
It was. I've seen it on
in
old
India.
Tile.
It was a sign of peace.
They
can't
decide.
Even come up with them.
Yeah.
Wait. So the wedding, was it big? Was it?
Oh, we had 11 people.
That's
that was
nice.
It.
See, that's great. That's what I would do.
No, and we sat down because I was worried that Gilbert would faint, so I got seats.
Really?
So but I was the one that was more nervous than him. It ended up you were fine. You were
Where
cool.
did you get
the 11 people? How'd you pick the 11 people?
It was your two sisters and your nephew, my sister and her boyfriend at the time, my parents, you and I, and then my uncle and his wife. She went online and got whatever.
Nice.
So she could marry us.
That's very cool.
Wow.
That was it.
Where was this?
At a hotel in Midtown.
Nice. Perfect.
It was in Auschwitz.
Oh.
That's
so nothing!
So wait, did they no announcement in the New York Times? No.
Was there? I don't remember.
I think it may have popped up here and there. Right. It certainly wasn't like, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow having a baby or something.
Wait, I'm emailing
so
them right now.
People always say to you, like, oh, you must laugh all the time, because they always say that to
Does
Melissa.
He really talk like that?
Yeah.
Is that one of the questions?
Are you
is that how he sounds in bed? Is that how he sounds in bed?
Are you protective of him?
Oh,
is that how he sounds in bed?
You're fiercely
yes. Are you kidding? Oh, yes.
It's so hard being a funny
person. I can't
People
read.
People think they can, there's no, because stand-up has no fourth wall, people come up to you as if, we're best friends and I can say whatever the fuck I want to.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I can't stand that.
Yeah.
I think one time there was someone that wrote something that was negative and I called the writer or something. I got so
No way.
Awesome.
My mother did that.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of that. I got a bad review for my 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother show, which got a rave in the Times.
Yeah,
and then the Star Ledger in New Jersey.
She's like, fuck you.
And she called up. She said, this is Ruth Gold, and I would like to speak with whoever the thing was. And I get, and
That's
I'm
me.
At something, and the publicist comes over and goes, I got a call from the guy at the Star Ledger. Your mother apparently called, and he doesn't want to call her back. And so I call up my mother. I go, Ma, you can't call a newspaper. I can do whatever the hell I want. His phone number is there. It says if you have any questions, you can he has his opinion, and I have mine. I had to listen to his. He can listen to mine. And I was like embarrassed, but then I was like, she's fucking right,
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And then, all right, so do you travel with him all the time?
Not usually, because the kids,
Do you hate the traveling? I can't stand it.
Oh, yeah.
Once in a while. We went on that cruise. We went on that cruise right before you went on it.
Right.
You went on
it. But, the travel, and like flying gets worse and worse.
And it's remember when I first started and you'd go on a gig and someone be like, I can't do this gig. Can you do it for me? And I'd be like, yeah. And then they just give me their plane ticket.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you could just, it didn't even matter what name was on the fucking ticket.
That's why it was really scary when you lost it. Cause anyone could pick it up and walk on the plane.
And they'd have like those
the
carbon
stickers.
Copies.
And stickers.
I remember on Coach, they would come out with a hot meal.
Right.
Like lunch, dinner.
Right. And you didn't have to fucking pay for your pillow. What the fuck is going on?
And your mommy and daddy could walk you all the way to the gate when they sent
you. You could be there at the door when they came off the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember if someone was meeting me, they'd be right there at the gate.
Right. It's so sucky now.
With
I
a lay
it.
And a kiss.
And, you know, it gets worse. Taking your shoes and your belt.
And
what drives me nuts is as they're patting me down and searching my luggage, they're going, oh, God, I loved you in Problem Child.
I know.
So wouldn't this mean I'm not a terrorist?
Right.
You're
it's
just
unbelievable.
I
get patted down all day.
Okay, here's a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
And then this one fucking kid with his clock. Remember that?
What the fuck is that? He does a science project, and it's a clock, and they think it's a fuck. What the fuck is wrong with people?
I sided with the teacher on that because... There's signs everywhere. If you see something, say something.
Right.
So if she saw something that she thought was a bomb, what are you going to do? Wait for it to explode and kill all the kids?
Yeah, I mean, that's a stereotype look of a bomb. That's
don't you think that then someone could have looked at it and said, this is just a clock? And it didn't have to be a fucking...
But meanwhile, I found out that kid just took out the insides of a clock and threw it in some metal container.
Right.
And said he invented a clock. And he was made out to be Jesus Christ.
Right.
Oh, and he cheated.
Oh, yeah. He was... They were looking at that kid. And what happened
with the lawsuit?
I don't know, but he's out.
And then the president
wanted
to have lunch with him.
Right.
And every major organization, you'll be the president of this company. And I thought, fuck him.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. So he got an annoying thing.
Now he's going to go to Harvard or somewhere. Yeah.
And then he'll be the fucking president someday because he'll be in the secret society in Harvard.
Oh, yeah.
Playing Willy Whackers with the rest of them.
Do you believe all those secret societies like those?
Unbelievable. The Masons, the Freemasons.
Well, there's that. Yeah. And then what about the pedophile
one? The Jackie Masons.
Oh, yeah. The Catholic
Church.
You know what I'm talking about?
Catholic. What's his name? That actress's father. Nicole Kidman.
Yeah. Yeah. He was. I just watched a video, actually, of one of his. One of the young children that him and other bishops and deacons of the church used to have child hunting parties.
Yeah.
And she was one of the targets in one of them. She ended up getting out, but she talks about it. You can YouTube this. I'm not sure what it's called, but just YouTube. And she remembered citing him there and citing a lot of the major bishops and deacons.
What the fuck is wrong with
people? There's another video on Netflix that someone went undercover and basically, I mean, all of the priests... in the Vatican, at least almost all of them, they've got their own court there so that they don't have to tell anyone about this. And they all just do whatever they want. They fuck each other and they fuck young children. And then they have sacrament the next day and they're admonished for their sins. And they truly believe that and they move on.
You know what?
And they continue to
That's so Nazi!
It really
is. Yeah, it really is.
That's fucking crazy.
Wow. And they have videos of them doing this, of them fucking each other and
I
then
can't.
Putting
All
on
right,
their
we're done. We're
garb the next day.
I'd rather hear about people shitting on Hitler.
Cause that's a Nazi.
Oh my God, Dara's covering her ears now.
Nazi potsy.
All right. What else do we have?
Yeah, on any antidepressants, Gilbert?
Oh, yeah, we have to have. We ask everyone if they're on any antidepressants.
No, I was never on any.
Never.
Never, no.
I gotta get off.
Now, with antidepressants, what I've heard is it basically turns you into a zombie.
What?
I think it can. I think it can. I take them.
I think if it's the wrong one. I mean, I have so much anxiety, but now I feel like I'm getting older, and I don't. I don't want to be on so many. I know that I should. I don't know. It's so hard.
See, it's kind of like.
But you never had like a depression or anything.
I've been depressed my whole life, but never where I'm sitting there.
I had that. Yeah.
But I kind of feel like I've never been on antidepressants, but I kind of feel like it's kind of like any time I've been on antibiotics. I always feel like, okay, it's taking care of what, but it's also killing a lot of good
germs. Right.
So I never on antibiotics feel good. I never feel 100%.
Right.
Because I feel like I feel.
Okay, it's killing that one thing. Did you read that article?
It's a little different, I think, with the mental stuff. I think some people do have deficiencies or chemical imbalances that now that we can do something.
Wait, so there was an article in the Times this past week about this guy. I think it was The Modern Love. And it was a guy who's, he got divorced. He was on the autism scale. He didn't read people's, he couldn't read people's, you know, cues. Mm-hmm. And he went to get, there's a new treatment where they stimulate the part of the brain that, you know, and he was like so excited. And it changed his, I mean, he's divorced now because his wife liked him not reacting.
Wow.
And even his friends were like, oh, I liked you better before. Because then he was reading into all, and he was feeling things that he had never felt before.
God, he was going through puberty all over again, it seems.
Wow.
Like, I mean, for the first time.
Well, he had this skill that he thought he was, you know, and it's like,
wow.
You have to read this article. It's unbelievable.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why I fucking told you that. Anyway, it's because the autistic kid. And that is so
not fake.
All right. What else?
We've got a PodFest coming up on May 16th.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do that. May 22nd, Sunday night at 7.
Oh, I'm sorry, not May 16th, May 21st at 6:15. I thought 6:15,
well,
and I thought
yours is the night before. Yeah.
The 21st. Oh,
your podcast is
Sunday
so
night.
Fucking great.
Oh yes, Gilbert Gottfried's amazing colossal podcast.
I mean,
GilbertGottfried.com.
Has that? You know, like what has come of that? Just that you people.
We've interviewed. We're approaching our 100th episode.
Yes.
Yeah, we've been doing it for 2 years. It's unbelievable.
So great. I mean, that
he's interviewed. I mean, the way it started is you and Frank would just stay on the phone for hours talking to each other about the most obscure, you know, Hollywood stories and old actors.
And it's the kind of thing where I always felt like this. Actors who I'd like to talk to.
Right.
But I'm not going to call them up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Need a reason.
Right.
So it's a great excuse to talk to his, you know.
Yeah, it's a nice,
idols
like,
and.
But it's such a great subject matter, too. You know, that people are, fascinated by.
Yeah.
It's so great.
I mean,
you guys are great.
Be able to find these people who are, in their 80s.
Right.
And
Frank is so good at the research.
Yeah.
And, he's amazing. And he, everything.
He's
he knows,
so
he's
smart.
He's like an encyclopedia.
Frank is so
I
smart.
Know.
And he's like so good at being like, you
the
know, and balancing Gilbert and keeping him on track.
Right, because sometimes Gilbert
and Gilbert will show up with,
That's so nasty!
Yeah! That's his
Frank will show up with a nice suit and a pressed shirt, and he has like his cards, and then Gilbert shows up with a piece of
one
ripped
article.
Paper.
Yeah.
And a slice of pizza. With
scratches. Somebody sat in and watched us do.
The LA Times did a big
article. Yeah.
An episode.
And they said that Frank came in with cards, index cards, written very neatly with every single detail about their career and very evenly next to each other, put them out on the table. And then afterwards, the reporter said, he said to me, he goes, did you do any preparation? And I said, well, I met him once.
That's hilarious. I know, he's the best. Yeah, Frank.
But wait, what about you got to call Janet Ann Gallo?
Yes.
Do you know who that is?
There's one that basically only I know, or a few of the horror freaks. You know, the intense freaks.
Right.
In the movie Ghost of Frankenstein with Lon Chaney and Bela Lugosi, there was at one point a little girl's playing ball.
Right.
And Frankenstein walks over to her. And that little girl, the actress,
she's 5 years old,
Janet Ann Gallo, now she's still alive.
And you got her on the
Yes.
Tara got her?
That's romantic.
So Nazi!
Good one.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Was she just stoked that you got in touch? I mean, she's like, you remember me from
sure
what?
Gilbert was so excited. He was like a little kid. So excited.
That is exciting. Nice.
Oh, my God.
And yes, somebody had said, they heard me talking to her, and she was talking about how, like, at you know, Chaney and Lugosi in full monster makeup on the set would play hide and go seek with her.
No way.
Yeah. That sounds fancy.
That's amazing.
And somebody said to me, they said, listening to me talk to her, I sounded like someone who wanted to be, like the little kid wanted to be her friend and play with Chaney and Lugosi.
That's so fucking amazing. Yeah.
We have we have a huge Frankenstein poster
I know,
in our living room.
In your living room.
Yep.
And that Groucho.
Oh,
you have
my God,
Groucho
a giant
painting.
Groucho painting.
Oh, love Groucho.
My friend Cliff Bailey painted that.
And there was, we went over to Dick Van Dyke's house, which
that
was
is
Malibu.
So Nazi.
Yeah, Van Dyke.
Yeah. Dick Van Dyke. Yeah.
And when you that's one of those people you see and you go, oh my God, he exists.
Yeah,
right,
you're real.
Right. He's a real person.
But in his book, he was listing all the historical events that happened while he was alive. And one of them was something like, you know, April 19th, Mein Kampf comes out. Haven't read it, don't plan to.
Really?
Yes. That's very funny.
Oh, my God, that's so nuts.
He's 90.
That's so nuts. What's always terrible with interviews is when the mic is off and the guest tells the best
story. Best story, I know.
Oh, my God, yes.
So after we got off, after all the mics were shut off, Dick Van Dyke said to me, he goes, you know, when I was in school, my nickname was Dick Nose.
No!
Yeah. And he said, like, in school, the teacher would ask
say that one more time.
A question and say, who knows the answer? Everyone would start pointing to him and start screaming out, Dick Nose! Dick Nose!
That's hilarious!
That's a good one.
That is a really good one.
Well, he Dick showed
knows.
Them.
Oh, my God. You guys are the fucking best. Can you come back and do another episode?
This was fun.
Oh, yeah.
I was nervous because I'm never on, you know.
No, it's so great.
You're awesome.
And you're like,
it was,
not only
you gave up your whole life for him.
Not only is it so great,
it's
so nasty.
You know, next time I bump into you guys, that's what we're going to be. And some people are going to be like, what did they just fucking say?
No, people are going to think that they're dreaming. Yeah. Like, did I just see Judy Hold and...
Tara, are you so happy with your life?
Are you kidding? I laugh every day. I'm like, almost 20 years with Gilbert and two gorgeous kids.
I know.
Like, it's amazing.
Look at you.
Amazing.
Like
amazing.
You're
I'm
like
very grateful.
Man.
Yeah,
almost.
Wait,
and he's sweet, right?
He's
really, really
sweet. He's a great guy. Except, unfortunately, what do you think would have happened if that Larry David show that he wrote for you,
Norman's Corner?
Oh my God,
that pretty much sucked.
That was like, that's the one bad. I mean, Larry, the people don't know, Larry David wrote a show for you.
Norman's Corner. Yeah.
Well, where the hell is it?
It was right before Seinfeld.
Yeah, it was so bad. It was so bad a show that a couple of years
later. How bad was it?
He'd be trying to sell a Seinfeld show.
Right.
And someone said, well, it's Seinfeld. Right. It's about him. And it's being created by Larry David. And one of the execs said, Larry David? Isn't he the guy that wrote that piece of shit for Gilbert Gottfried?
What was your part? What was it? You were
I was a newsstand owner.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah. And originally their concept was going to be that they'd fill it with comedians.
Right.
And I'd go, oh, you know, there's right. so-and-so, and he'd come out and do his act.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, I agree with them.
Oh,
on the,
so like a scripted like variety show almost?
Oh, yeah, but then, they'd hide it to make it look like it's
right.
not really.
Right.
Oh, it's I hilarious. Guess he used a little bit of that on Seinfeld, and he yeah. put Jerry's
well,
stand-up
Well, all I have
sets.
To say is...
That's so Nazi!
You guys have to come back, because I
this
love you.
This was fun.
It was,
yeah. was fun. This
really?
Was fun. This was fun. I had fun.
Yeah.
Did you have fun,
Gilbert?
Yeah.
Come see Gilbert live on May 21st at NYC 22nd. Podfest. No, that's us. May 22nd at NYC Podfest. We'll be there on the 21st. We can do doubleheader. We'll be going right before Keith and the Girl.
And my podcast, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, on GilbertGottfried.com.
Subscribe on iTunes.
Yeah, subscribe.
Yes, subscribe.
Subscribe and leave the stars
yeah,
in the comments.
Yeah, stars. Leave stars on ours.
Leave comments.
Because Gilbert reads them all.
Hey, listen, guys, you got to help us out. And here's another thing. Because of our sound, that's bullshit. And you know what, you guys? Sometimes shit happens, man, okay? We're still in a podcast. All these people who wrote me death threats because of the sound need to calm down, all right? We had to get a different room. I didn't have four mics, all right?
All right,
just chill.
Down.
All right, so all I want to say is if you have subscribed to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast or Judy Gold's Kill Me Now podcast and you don't normally listen through iTunes, it will unsubscribe you after a couple weeks or a month or so. So just go on back, check for a second, make sure you're still subscribed to those two podcasts, and it really helps us out, helps us get heard, helps us get our ratings up. And a lot of people, you know, haven't heard either of our podcasts yet, so tell your buddies, you know, if you enjoy them, tell your friends. That's
thank you very much, Lauren, for that.
And thank you.
Very Nazi-like.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you.
It was so fun. And
we love you.
So long!
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.